So I'll ask the question that was asked at the end of the trailer. Are you ready?
Amen.
Are you ready for what the Lord has in store for us today, but in the coming days, weeks, months, this next year, the next 3 years, the next 5 years? Are you ready? Are you really ready? Think about that for a minute. Are you ready? Are you ready? Joshua chapter 13 is where we're going to be this morning. While you're turning there in your Bible or your electronic device, I want to ask a question. By show of hands, how many of you, when you were getting ready for church this morning, thought, oh man, I'm not having to wear something special today? Anyone? Anyone feel withdrawals from 4 weeks of fun and excitement in the house of the Lord as it involved Advent? Yeah, I know some of you are wearing flannel. Yeah, I don't see any PJs, at least not that I think are PJs, but not all of us are decked to the hall. Some came a little more fancy dressed. But my dad is one of those that decks the halls every Sunday. And he was taught by his mother that God deserves your best. And so he doesn't want Jesus coming back for him in a flannel shirt. He wants Jesus to come back in church, come find him in his best. So my dad still has a little trouble with that. But y'all keep praying for him, okay? He'll get there. He's 83. He's old and advanced in years. So maybe the Lord will say to him, no, I'm just kidding. Lighten up, dude. No. I love my dad with all my heart. He's a great man. But yeah, so, and there's no Christmas decorations. What's up with that? It's not even New Year's. The Christmas decor is gone. Not only was I disappointed not getting to wear something special, and then I walked in and it's like, it's all gone. I thought maybe we'd get one more Sunday out of it, but no, not to be. It's back to the same old, right? Or is it? Joshua 13 is a very interesting chapter that we're going to look at this morning. And because Joshua 13 is a transition chapter, you see, the first 12 chapters of Joshua have dealt with the conquest of the promised land. Remember, the theme of Joshua is the pursuit of the promise. We finished the series in Numbers, the provision for the promise. Then we get to the promised land. We cross the Jordan River, and now we're going to take the promise. We're going to obtain the promise. And so that's what they've been doing. That's what they've been doing. And now we're about to transition into another part of Israel's history, and that will be the allotment of the promise to the tribes. And so on that note, I want to ask everyone to stand. I want to continue with something John David was doing during Advent that I really enjoyed. I want us to stand for the reading of God's word. My text this morning is actually chapter 13, verse 1 through 14, 5. We are not going to read all those verses. I've selected 12 that I want to read. And Easton, I didn't tell you at the beginning, but we're going to go right through these verses, if you don't mind, buddy. But beginning in Joshua chapter 13, verse 1. Now Joshua was old and advanced in years, and the Lord said to him, you are old and advanced in years, and there remains yet very much land to possess. This is the land that yet remains, all the regions of the Philistines and all those of the Geshurites, from the Shihor, which is east of Egypt, northward to the boundary of Ekron. It is counted as Canaanite. There are 5 rulers of the Philistines, those of Gaza, Ashdod, Ashkelon, Gath, and Ekron. And those are of the Arvim. In the south, all the land of Canaanites and Meara that belongs to the Sidonians, to Aphek, to the boundary of the Amorites and the land of the Gebelites, and all Lebanon. And I love this phrase. It's repeated several times in chapter 12. It's used again here by God, toward the sunrise. Toward the sunrise. Just think about that phrase for just a minute. From Baal Gad, below Mount Hermon, to Lebo Hamath, all the inhabitants of the hill country, from Lebanon to Misrephoth Maim, even all the Sidonians, I myself will drive them out from before the people of Israel. Only allot the land to Israel for an inheritance, as I have commanded you. Now, therefore, divide this land for inheritance to the entire nine tribes and half the tribe of Manasseh. And then we're going to jump to 14:1 in the last. And those five verses explains a little more of the allotment. These are the inheritance that the people of Israel received in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the heads of the fathers' houses of the tribes of the people of Israel gave them to inherit. Their inheritance was by lot, just as the Lord had commanded by the hand of Moses for the 9 1/2 tribes. For Moses had given an inheritance to the 2 1/2 tribes. For Moses, let's see, 2 1/2 tribes beyond the Jordan. But to the Levites he gave no inheritance among them, for the people of Joseph were two tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim. And no portion was given to the Levites in the land, but only cities to dwell in, with their pasture lands for their livestock and their substance. The people of Israel did as the Lord commanded Moses. They allotted the land. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you're here in this place this morning. I thank you for your word. I thank you that your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. I thank you that your word is inspired by the Holy Spirit and that it's good for instruction, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. We receive it today as the double-edged sword to pierce and divide asunder of our soul and our spirit, our joints and our marrow, and discern the thoughts and the intents of our soul. We invite you in this place this morning. We ask you to do on this last Sunday of 2024 what you and only you can do. And we will be quick to give you all the praise and the glory. It's in the name of your precious Son, Jesus, our Messiah, our soon coming King, that we give all the glory. Amen. 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 You may be seated. Now, Joshua. That first word in chapter 13 is a very important word. It's a conjunction. And we know that conjunction, junction, what's your function? What do conjunctions do? They hook up words and phrases and clauses. Yes. So the word now, this conjunction is attaching chapter 12 to chapter 14. So the entire chapter 13 is a conjunction. It's a joining of these two chapters, and it is the transition chapter in the book of Joshua. And so we close out chapter 12. The very last line tells us that Moses and Joshua conquered, they've conquered at this point in history, they have conquered 31 kings. They are possessing the land. They are moving in. They are taking charge. They are in hot pursuit, choo-choo, of the promise, for those of you that grew up in the 80s like me. Some of you all get that reference. They're in hot pursuit. They're after it. But now, Joshua is not as good as he once was. But he's as good once as he'll ever be. He's old and advanced in years. And when we read that phrase, old and advanced in years, this isn't the only time this phrase is used in the Old Testament. It's used several times between Genesis and here. Actually, it's also used in Samuel to describe David at a point in his life. We're not talking about his age. Now, age-wise, most Bible scholars believe that Joshua was in the neighborhood of 100 to 103 years of age. Most scholars believe that it took 7 years for the allotment of the promised land. And we know in Joshua 24 that Joshua died at 110 years of age. So if you do that simple math, give or take a year here or there, you're going to get 100 to 103 years old at this time. Now we know from what we've learned in previous scripture readings in our Sunday school classes and what have you, that 103 years of age back then was not the same as 103 years of age today. He was much more spry than most 103-year-olds are here on earth today. But yet, he had lost. So this phrase, old and advanced in years, does not refer so much to his age as it does to a diminishment in his physical abilities. Joshua has come to the realization that he's not as quick as he once was. He's not as strong as he once was. Maybe his memory isn't as sharp as it once was. Maybe his eyesight is beginning to be questionable. Maybe his hearing isn't as sharp. We don't know everything that was going on in his life, but from the use of this phrase, we know that Joshua was not the young whippersnapper that he once was. And he's coming to this realization. And the Lord said to him, "Hey, buddy, you're not what you once was. You're not the great physical specimen of a man you once were." Now, how did God say that to him? Now, I believe some of you will disagree with me in this. Some of you, and that's fine. My point isn't to argue here. I am one of the people that believe that God still speaks to people today. Amen. I don't believe that God speaking to people ended with these 66 books. I believe that God still speaks to us today. Now, does he speak to us in the exact same way that he spoke to Moses? Has God ever come to me in a burning bush? No. But I have heard the voice of God, not in an audible sense, but in the impressions of the Holy Spirit. Jesus promised us that he would send the Comforter, that he would give us the words. How will he give us the words? Do we just think we make this stuff up? No, he's speaking to us. And maybe it was because Joshua had trouble getting out of his cot one morning. It's like, ooh, got to catch in my get-along. Maybe he stumbled a little bit when he got off his camel. It's like, oh my goodness, my sciatic nerve is, as my daddy would say, my honey's out around. Maybe he's trying to do some stretches in his back crack. I don't know. But somehow he came to the realization that he was old and advanced in years. And I believe also, so let me just throw this in here for those of you that may be confused about how God talks to us. I believe that God talks to us also through our physical body. If I feel something's not right in my body, don't think for a second that's not the Holy Spirit telling you. Because he created your body. Saying, hey, you might want to get this checked out. When my toes start aching, you know what I know I need to stop doing? Drinking my calories. Now you say that's common sense. I believe it's the Holy Spirit who created my body letting me know that, hey, something's not right in my physical body. And my physical body is just as much a part of my soul as my will is. And God will come to me. God comes to me, first of all, through those who are around me. He will come to me through my body. He comes to me through my thoughts. And if we don't learn to get a grip on these aspects of our soul, then we start having outrageous emotions that take control of our life and wreak havoc on people that are around us, on ourselves, and on our life. We make bad decisions. But if we would just listen to God speaking to us, we can realize, hey, this person isn't good for me. I need to step away. Hey, I don't need to be going there. I don't need to be doing this. This isn't prudent for my health. I need to stop this habit. I need to quit drinking Dr. Peppers or coffee and start getting jitters. I'm a coffeeaholic. When I start getting the jitters, I know it's time to stop. You know what I'm saying? This is the way the Holy Spirit works with us. And no, I'm not over-spiritualizing it. I believe this to the core of my being. And when I've learned this and I began to listen first to my body and to key people like John David, a couple of weeks ago, I was in a real funk. Right along the third week of Halloween into the second week of November, some stuff was taking place in my life and in the lives of people around me that was really messing me up. And one day we made an appointment to go have lunch. And at Bricktown, he helped line me out. The Holy Spirit, God spoke to me through him. And God's placed people in your life to do the same thing. But God speaks to Joshua, whether it's in an audible voice, just like me talking to you, or whether it was an impression, something that he felt in his heart. He realized, oh my goodness, there remains yet very much land to possess, and I'm not able to do it. God is telling him this. And God lays it out. This is all the land you've done a lot. You've defeated 31 kings, but there's still a whole lot more left for you to do, Joshua. Yes, at 103, let's just say, use 103. At 103 years old, yes, there is very much land still yet to be possessed. And guess what, Joshua? I'm going to use you to do it, but I have one assignment for you. All I want you to do at 103 years of age is allot the land. It's your responsibility. I'm not asking you to go conquer 31 more kings. I'm not asking you to go into Gath, Gaza, Ashkelon, Ashdod. I'm not asking you to do all this. All I'm asking you to do is divide it up. Go ahead and let the people inherit the land. And then the people were to conquer this land. Now we know from other passages that I'm not going to dive into. We know like in verses 6-13, we read that not some people slack. They were slackers. Now when I was reading, when I read the word the Philistines, does that sound familiar to anyone? Anyone remember a famous Philistine in the Bible? Who? Goliath. Where was Goliath from? Anyone remember? No? Gath. One of the cities I just read of the Philistines is Gath that they were supposed to conquer. And who was taunting them? A giant by the name of Goliath. That's where David gets fed up and says, hey, you're making fun of my God. We should have wiped you out long before. How many of you know who killed Saul on Mount Gilboa? We don't know his name, but we do know what he was. He confesses who he was when he comes back bragging to David. He says, I am with all pride and joy an Amalekite. You remember reading the Amalekite in here? He should have been wiped out. He should have been no issue. And yet Saul took a spear through the heart from an Amalekite. David wastes no time and lopping this dude's head. Off with you. We know from history, when you get it, we've done a series through Samuel. You read through the kings. These people that are mentioned In this passage, they were thorns in the side of Israel. They are still thorns in the side of Israel. What country is Beirut the capital of? Lebanon. What slice of land is of much contention right now over there? What strip? Gaza. The Gaza Strip. This is another reason why that word now is important, because it's part of history. This was a real event. These are real times. And the children of Israel, up to this point, God had interacted daily in their lives. He had intervened daily in their lives. Their life revolved around him and his presence. And the most important thing that could have happened to Joshua in Joshua chapter 13 is the instruction of the Lord in his life. And friends, this morning I'm telling you that the most important thing that can happen in your life today is that you hear from God. And you can hear from God. But God is not going to speak to you while you're binging Netflix. He's not going to speak to you while you're playing video games. And I'm not dissing any of this stuff. If you have free time and you want to do it, do it. He's not going to speak to me when I'm reading some novel. You know when he speaks to me? He speaks to me when I set aside 8 to 10 minutes first thing every morning and sit in silence and invite him into my world. That's when he begins to speak to me. Before I open a Bible, before I look at my phone, I take time in silence. And I invite him. I sit there and I say, Abba, here I am. Here I am. Here I am. Here I am. And then I'll read a psalm. Then I'll maybe read a passage. If I feel led, I'll pull out one of the devotion, one of the five that's on my table that I'm slowly working through. And I may read a paragraph out of that and I'll meditate on it. And I'll ask him to speak to me through that. And then when I feel that that's done, I'll set my timer again for 8 to 10 minutes. I'll sit there in my chair and I'll lift my hand and I'll say, Abba, I'm yours. I'm yours. I give you this day. I give you who I am. I'm on your mission. You see, that's what the children of Israel, they were on mission from God. They're a picture of God's kingdom on this earth, and God's kingdom is alive and well this morning on this earth, and you and I play an important role in that. And so my question, one of my first questions to you this morning, as I begin to bring my message to a close, I want to ask you this question. What season of your life are you in? Some of you may feel you are old and advanced in years. I have a goal, hopefully by in the fall, I'll be able to hike Mount Olympus with my youngest son, Will. It's a mountain that stands. Their house sits in the shadow of it. 4,900 feet of vertical elevation straight up. I went on one hike that had 2,900 feet of vertical elevation gradual and thought I was going to die. That hike alone told me I ain't ready for Mount Olympus. And so I've been working to get myself ready for it. And when I feel ready for it, he and I are going to hike it. And I can't wait to post the picture from the top, looking over the Great Salt Valley. Because his pictures are beautiful. And I want to see it. But right now, I can't do it. But with focus and goals, I can. I don't know what the Lord has laid on your heart for 2025. But let me tell you something. God's got some great things in store for this church. I'm not going to go into the details now. You'll be hearing about it a lot more later. I didn't check with you to ask if it's okay to share this, but we're going to be moving into a special season here pretty soon off the new year. And we're going to ask the whole church to be involved in it. Our pastoral staff believes this can be a really transformative time, not just for our church, but more importantly for us as individuals, because we all have a part in what God is doing in this body. I look at this congregation, and this is a different congregation than it was on the last Sunday of 2023. Things are happening. God is at work. We are beginning to really, I feel, and I don't think John David would disagree or Jared would disagree with me on this, I believe that we're really beginning to come into what God has for us and the role that he wants us to play in Owosso, Oklahoma, in his kingdom. But it's only going to come as we're willing to submit ourselves to him. Now, I want us to notice one more thing before I close. Because even though Joshua was diminished in his skill, God still wanted to use him. And I want to tell you this morning, some of you, maybe I'm speaking directly to you, maybe you're feeling even right now as I'm speaking, that you're not qualified, or you're not able, or you can no longer commit like you once were able to commit. And you're feeling challenged because, well, I can't be the person in the church that I used to be, or I can't do what it is that I really want to do. My question to you is, ask God, what season are you in? And then ask him what your role is to be and what he wants to do in his kingdom here in Owosso. Because look at what God tells Joshua. And this should encourage every single one of us in this room this morning. I know that it blesses me. He says there at the end of, in the middle of verse 6, he says, I myself will drive them out. I myself will drive them out from before the people of Israel, only allot the land to Israel for an inheritance, as I have commanded you. Now, two things I want to call your attention to in this as we begin to close. That's the third time I've said that, isn't it? Time to land the plane. And I am. First of all, I just told you that Israel didn't drive them all out. And it would be easy for a cynic to sit there and say, well, God didn't keep his promise. God promised to drive them out. Well, I want you to remember something. When you're reading Hebrew passages, I want you to remember that Hebrew writers always wrote in the ultimate sense. They had such a high, revered view of Yahweh. They wouldn't even put the vowels in his name when they wrote it. It'll be like us writing GD. Because God is so holy, I don't even want to write his whole name. And so when they talk, they always speak. So when you read, God did this, God did that, they're speaking in ultimate sense because they had such a reverent view and such a high view of the power of Almighty God that they believed he could do anything that he wanted to do. And so if the Amalekites were wiped out, God wiped them out. They totally remove the human equation from it. We see something take place in the New Testament where God partners with people, specifically his saints, through Jesus. When Jesus comes physically and he becomes a part and he is incarnated in our life and the Holy Spirit takes up residence, we shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon us. We talk about grace as if it's just something that's just, oh, I'm giving out grace. I saw a wonderful life and Martini hitting the, I'm giving out wings. I think sometimes we view grace that way. Ha ha, I'm giving out grace. Grace is never opposed to effort. Grace is opposed to earning. You cannot earn His grace. But God calls us to partner with Him. And He was calling His people to partner with them. And so God, listen to me. There are few occasions, times when this does not take place. But God will not do for you what you can do for yourself.
Amen.
Do you hear me this morning? God is not going to do for you what you are not willing to do for yourself. But if you are willing to step into the hard, God will come upon you and God will give you every ounce of strength you need. He'll give you every ounce of will that you need and determination to press through and do what it is that He's placed on your heart to do. But you have to play your role in it. And I want to encourage you as we go into 2025. To open yourself up to what He has for you. Maybe you're old and advanced in years. Maybe you can't play the keyboard. Maybe you can't sing. But you know how to turn knobs. And you have an ear. And so there's a spot for you in the sound booth. Maybe you have some tech abilities. Hope I'm not speaking out of turn. What I'm saying is, what does God want you to do? And are you willing to step into it? As the praise and worship team begins to come, we're about to give for the last time in 2024. There's multiple ways you can give. I don't have them. They'll be on the screen. You can mail the check. You can bring your gift and place it in the offering plate. You can go online and pay. But I want to encourage you, take advantage of this last opportunity to give to God. Don't do it for the tax write-off. Do it because you love God and because God's been good for it to you. But give something. But it's also our last opportunity as a body to celebrate His death and resurrection until He comes. We have the elements here. I want to encourage you this Sunday, as you come and you take your elements, whether you take them here while you're standing here or if you take them back to your seat, doesn't matter. But as you stand there holding the element, I want you to give yourself to Him. Whatever it is you're going through, maybe you don't feel yourself emotionally. Maybe you're struggling with some mental faculties. I don't know. I know some of what some of you are going through. Some of you are grieving the loss of someone very dear to you. Some of you are in spring and summer in your life and everything's peachy and keen and you're just having the time of your life. Some of us are just thankful to be alive this morning and here. Whatever it is, whatever you're feeling this morning, maybe you feel lonely, maybe you feel sad, maybe you feel ecstatic, maybe you feel, doesn't matter, He's here. This message hasn't been intended to be a rah-rah, let's go kick the devil's butt. Life happens now. Joshua was old. Now, in this point of time, where are you this morning? So acknowledge it before Him. God, here's where I am. Here I am. Naked before, here I am. You know all of my faults. You know all of my needs. And I love you. And I want you to do something in and through me this year. I want you to use me to further Your kingdom and to accomplish Your will wherever You send me. then take the bread and the juice. And remember that Jesus was there. He went before you. He paid it all so that you don't have to. Yes, there's suffering. Yes, there are trials. But he's with us. He promised us his presence. One of the most important aspects to remember through the book of Joshua, and I meant to touch on this and I didn't, but go back and read Joshua chapter 1, how many times God tells Joshua, I will be with you. He's with you this morning. And he'll help you if you ask him and invite him to. I'm going to be down here. When there's something that's going on in your heart, in your life, and you want to pray, you want somebody to pray with you, I would love to pray with you. Pastor's right down here. He would love to pray with you too. Doesn't matter who you go to. But don't go into 2025 lacking from God. God's here to meet your need and to touch your heart and your life if you're willing. If you're willing. So, Father, I thank you for your presence. I thank you that you're in this room. And I thank you that you reside in the hearts of your people. And you came to give us abundant life. And so, Father, as we prepare our hearts to go into what you have, as this, as the earth is about to complete its cycle this year around the sun and begin a new one, Lord, prepare our hearts for everything that you want to do in and through us. Prepare us for what you want to do in this season coming up that we feel so strongly about in the direction of our church. May we begin to ask that question, Jesus, what would you have me do? Father, how would you have me get involved? What would you have me be in this time, God? We just open ourselves up to you. We give you praise and glory. We receive all that you have for us this morning in your Son's name. Amen.